Villainous Beats.
Every other Wednesday.
Welcome to Every Other Wednesday, a bi-weekly conversation with Dylan Bickers and Devin Everettnam. This week, we play with Thanis' banana, Dylan's buying goats, and Devin reviews the podcast.
Hey, I've got some ASMR for you. I don't know if you're going to be able to hear it.
Okay. Is that it?
Can you hear it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm doing, Devin?
Are you playing with your banana?
I'm patting the banana to restore shape.
Does it say 4 scale on it?
The other one does. So the banana 4 scale, which came wrapped dutifully in its produce packaging, does say 4 scale on it. Where is it? Hang on. No, this is a different toy that Amazon is advertising to me. Let me just go to my orders.
Dylan Bickers, toy collector.
Damn straight. Your orders.
Toy fruit collector.
I gotta get this right, because what I am currently playing with is not the banana for scale. It is the Ja Rule Super Stretchy Banana and one collectible bouncy ball stretches long, smells good, 3340-1P by Ja Rule, with 50 customer reviews and 6 answered questions. I don't know why part of the SEO advertising is that it smells good.
Does it smell good?
Because it fucking doesn't.
It's not scented at all, or it smells bad?
It smells like sweatshops.
Nice.
But
that's what they meant by smells good. Smells like capitalism.
Smells like capitalism. Smells like you can enjoy your late capitalist life while some underprivileged Chinese child made this Ja Rule super stretchy banana, which I actually can attest to the fact that it is super stretchy. I got my dad to hold one end of it, and we definitely got at least like 8 paces away from each other.
Nice.
I had to pat the banana a lot after that, because we did some damage to its shape.
Did some damage to it, but it stretched. It came back.
My one fear, because like I know this thing is gonna break at some point. It has to. It's rubber. It's not like it's not Mithril. It's not the Mithril banana stretches long.
Not the Infinity banana.
It's not Thanos's banana. Title.
Title. One of many. Oh, man.
See, I'm just playing with my banana. What are you doing, Devin?
Just playing with your banana. I just watched the trailer for, let me get this game name correct, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
Ooh.
Apparently, it is a, like, action combat game from Respawn Entertainment, the guys that did Titanfall.
Oh, word.
And it takes place after the purge of the Jedi in Star Wars.
Okay.
So, yeah. The trailer looked pretty dramatic.
Hell yeah.
Why is it every trailer that's like, this is a bad thing, has the same music in it?
It's all like
Inception music.
It's the Inception music.
Ever since Inception,
with increasing like frequency and like intensity of each.
I think even Detective Pikachu's trailer had that. Like, what the hell's going on?
Detective Pikachu throws a fucking lit cigarette into the ocean. He's like, I'm going to find the ones who did this. I'm going to find out that Professor Oak fucked Ash's mom.
He just wanted to get them out of the village.
Yep. Hey, you know, when you want to smash, you got to smash.
Yeah. You do anything.
With enthusiastic consent, listeners. Yes.
Enthusiastic. So, yeah, I I'm excited. I like Respawn. And let's, I guess I hope that they're not too busy with Apex that they can't. But
oh yeah,
I think it's a separate team. So
the
fine. They're coming out with it in November. So
got you. I mostly didn't play Apex because, well, first of all, I'm bad at games that involve shooting, as I think we've discussed on the podcast. I also have some, like, I don't know, I don't enjoy the culture of Fortnite.
Fortnite, yeah.
I think Fortnite is a Fort Blight on...
Oh, got him. have you seen the Folding Ideas episode on Fortnite?
I have not.
It's pretty good. It's about like manufactured authenticity and like manufactured discontent.
Manufactured discontent.
Yes. So the idea is that Fortnite, among a lot of free-to-play or games as a service games, are basically just gambling machines, which manufacture discontent in their user base in order to get them to buy things.
That makes sense.
So yeah, it's a pretty good argument. Not one that I haven't heard before, but I like Folding Ideas.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I think he's pretty good, and he makes part of his video in Fortnite, which is pretty funny.
Hell yes.
So I will link that up.
Word. We'll make sure to put that in the show notes. Let's see here. I did try Fortnite on whatchamacallit, the Switch, and I was just bad because I was dropped into I was literally dropped onto an island with a bunch of sixth graders, and they were all better than me. And
because they just play that game. So.
All the time. They don't have responsibilities. They don't have jobs. God, I remember when that was the shit. That was the best part about being a kid. It's like, yeah, I played fucking Knights of the Old Republic for 14 hours today because I didn't have anything else to do.
You get home and then you play the game and then you eat dinner and then you play the game.
Exactly.
That I remember many, many nights like that.
Do you have RSI, Devin? Because I have RSI.
What is RSI?
It's a repetitive strain injury. That's why I like use a bunch of different things when I'm writing or working on computers and that sort of thing. It's because my hands and my arms and my wrists get like really bad pain if I do the same thing too much, which sucks because my normal job also involves being at a computer all the time. But I think I know the source of my RSI. The source of my RSI was my dumbass with my Game Boy Advance at night on school nights, hiding under my covers in a very awkward position to the point where I would feel like intense pulling pain like in my wrists, and like, oh, time for like a 2 minute break until that goes away. And so now my 24-year-old decrepit ass is looking back at like 10-year-old Dylan being like, you fucked me.
I don't think I have RSI. So, I mean, it's good for me, I guess.
There's still time.
I'm sure. I am absolutely sure that there is still time. I was going to segue that into that Sekiro.
I forget most of what happened in that thread, but I remember the kind of typical argument that
it was very funny to me. So me and Dylan are both part of the same group on Facebook. And this is when, so we took 2 weeks off. So, this was back then, but Sekiro, it was like just a new game. Mm-hmm. And so, somebody posted an article, I think it was a Polygon article, that said that, Sekiro needs to respect its player base and come out with a easy mode.
It was actually Forbes that published this.
Okay, Forbes. No, right, you're right, because Forbes came out with two separate articles. Because they do this now. They just argue with themselves, which is another issue with media in general.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not familiar, this game is a spiritual sequel inspired by Dark Souls from the makers of Dark Souls.
Mm-hmm.
Set in feudal Japan, right?
Yeah.
And with fantasy elements, which is badass. And I still haven't played it yet.
It's very good.
Is it?
It's very good and very hard.
Good. I want to play it soon. But like, you see this. I just thought it was funny because you see this every time a new game comes out from Software, where somebody will go, well, they need to have an easy mode, because if you've never played the game before, they have one set difficulty and it is hard.
Mm-hmm.
And either you get good at the game or you don't move on.
Yeah, get good, casual.
But then that also comes to the point where, you know, there are many people that never finish those games because they can't beat them.
Mm-hmm.
And so what the arguments were about was that is there a sort of ableism that comes to mind when talking about Sekiro and difficult games like that, in which, you know, I can beat this. And if you can't, then just shut up and don't complain about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll say that, like, when I first thought about this, I was totally on that one side, because on the side of they don't need to make a difficulty change in anything, because I am that part of the minority that enjoys those games and puts 80, 90 hours into them in order to get good and then finish them.
Mm-hmm.
I realize there are a lot of people that aren't in that situation.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard because, I buried the lead. I made, one of those little shit posts. Of the sweating commander guy that is in front of two buttons, and now it's kind of distorted in the image link, but basically it says, one says games should be able to be enjoyed by everyone, and the other says developers have artistic freedom and are under no obligation to make a difficulty change.
The interesting thing about this to me is, and I might catch some shit for this, but a lot of the people who were arguing the ableism point weren't, at least in that thread, at least the people that I know, they didn't suffer from any disability that would prevent them from being able to play the game. Now, this is a little bit controversial, but I'm 100% for supporting people who say, hey, this is difficult for me, or et cetera, can, like, there be accommodations made for me in this experience? It's like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. But the woke parade of people being like, someone might not be able to do this, or someone might be upset by this, so we should absolutely just bitch about it.
It's very white knight liberalism right there.
It is. And I got recently called out for doing something very similar in my personal life, and I feel super bad about it looking back at it. It's like, oh my god, because that's absolutely what I was doing. I was like trying to like display how woke I was and coming off like a total asshole.
And so, and I don't want that comment to come off as flip. Mm-hmm. flip. Like I get that threading the needle between being an advocate for somebody else's problems and realizing that other people don't have the same experience in life that you do,
mm-hmm.
is also the other side of that is going too far and speaking out, like speaking for somebody,
mm-hmm.
when you don't have the experience that that person has.
Exactly.
So I get that because, like, you know, there are multiple groups that are less fortunate than I am, mm-hmm. that I would like to advocate for. But that being said, I don't know the exact motivations behind, you know, who they are and what they actually want from the issues unless you go and talk to them about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with it's the same thing with white liberalism, mm-hmm. and concerning race, and like that's kind of like what Get Out was kind of making fun of,
mm-hmm.
which was, you know, like you have these people. Not really, spoiler alert, it's the beginning of the movie, but these people that are in like a secluded part of the country, very well off,
mm-hmm.
and
oh yes, I voted for Obama twice, right. Would have voted for him a third time if I was able to,
right? And they're talking about like it's just, and mm-hmm. they also have a similar there's a similar scene in Atlanta where his girlfriend's stepdad is also like that, where it's just like I feel for the black man, black power, like it's very, very cringy. But to get back to Sekiro, I don't see the, you know, there obviously there is no downside to having a difficulty change, but you know, stuff like that takes resources. So,
mm-hmm.
And they've already asked what's his name, the creator, the lead creator.
It's not Kojima, is it?
No, it is not. His name is.
I should know this because I'm in Sith posting all the time. Fuck.
Pause for Hidetaka Miyazaki.
Miyazaki, that's it.
Because there's also another Miyazaki.
Yep.
Makes movies. And he, I think I'm getting this from a secondhand source. But mm-hmm. he was in an interview recently where the interviewer had asked the question, is there a different way that you could get the aesthetic across that you want to get across?
Mm-hmm.
Besides having a very large difficulty curve. And he said that he really wants what's focal to his games is a sense of impending doom, mm-hmm. and like dread.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants the player to feel that and then feel accomplishment once they get past it.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't say, he didn't dismiss it outright. But he didn't say that he has any ideas of how to do that without difficulty, but he's open to trying to do that without difficulty, which I think is probably their next challenge.
Word.
Of finding a middle ground that, you know, because I think most people want other people to be able to finish their games and enjoy mm-hmm. their games.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like this huge gatekeeping thing that, like, that's the other thing that people are accusing the other side of being, the gatekeepers that just don't want people to enjoy these games, because if people don't enjoy the games, then, you know, there's another side that just can't finish the games and you have power over them and you're, you know, I saw the end of Dark Souls 3 and you didn't, ha ha ha. But
you know, there's it's YouTube. Not, you, yeah. you can look yeah. it up. But it's like,
oh, that game is so good. Dark Souls 3.
Dark Souls 3 is very good, which I never finished because I couldn't. I only just recently beat the Capra Demon in Dark Souls 1 on the Switch. Yeah. And I felt super good. I was pissed for a long time, but I finally felt good because I did it. And I did it in the most cheese way possible as well, which was so dumb.
Yeah, I remember doing that. I mean, that game is... That game is hard. That game is really hard.
It is very, very difficult.
So anything that you can do to make it easier on yourself, go for it. That's the other thing, is that, like, in those games, like, that's an argument that I haven't seen yet, but in those games, people will cheese bosses because it's very hard to just outright go one-to-one with a boss.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I mean, I do it. I'm sure most people who play those games do it. So,
it was, I was so proud though. It was something that I could have done. I had no idea that I could have done, but I wound up finding out accidentally and being like, why the fuck didn't I do this? Like,
right.
2 years ago or whatever, however long I've been trying to do this. It was a very long time. But so I think I had a +3 Zweihander, which for y'all scrubs that don't play,
you non gamers,
you fake game girls,
fake gamer girls.
God,
Nakey Jakey. Have you seen those videos?
No, I've not.
He's super good, but you need to watch Nakey Jakey. He's like a 90s shit poster that posts like video game video essays. Anyway, you were saying?
Yes. So I eventually found out that I could just stun lock him. Because if I use the strong attack, he staggers.
Yep.
And I have enough time to swing again and regenerate my stamina between the time he staggers and the time he's about ready to attack. And I was like, wow, I just like smashed him four times real good with his big sword.
Uh-huh.
And he died, and I won, and I feel good about that. And then I unlocked the depths, and I remember when we had Harding on, when we had John on the podcast.
Friend of the show, John Harding.
Friend of the show, John Harding, Mixmaster Shafter, said just skip the fucking depths, and I didn't want to tell him that I didn't know how.
I mean, that... Also, that map is huge and non-intuitive, so I get that. I remember having Dark Souls and trying to play it with Jeff Jesberger, my cousin in sophomore year. He's been my cousin all time. He just wasn't my cousin in sophomore year. He was in sophomore year of college. We were playing Dark Souls, and we started the game together, and we got out of the beginning area and we had no fucking clue where to go. And it took us like a day and a half to figure out, oh, there's a thing behind the hill and like there's a thing up on the other side of it. Like like we were fighting that one guy that like shows up once you get to the start point in Dark Souls, the knight or whatever. And so we were fighting the Golden Knight and just running around. I think Jeff actually killed him, which is a pretty great feat for like being level 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
And because that knight, I think, is like 14 or 16 or something like that.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So not bad. And he can, you know, stunlock you, parry you, whatever. But yeah, so I totally get it that... The magic of those games is hidden away. I can also say that if I did not force myself to do some things in Dark Souls games, like if I didn't force myself to spend, okay, you're going to spend 8 hours with this game until you get rhythm with it. If I didn't do that, I probably wouldn't be as vocal as a proponent for Dark Souls games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's also another weird thing because I grew out of that. Like, I don't do that anymore. I don't make my, because like what's the point of making yourself sit down and trying to do things? But I was told that Dark Souls was a game that was great, so I gave it a chance.
Hell yeah!
And I don't know if 8 hours is that lofty a goal, but I mean, you know, 8 hours with Dark Souls. I think Dark Souls is a longer game, right?
It is.
Like the original one is like 60 something hours.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I remember Bloodborne is a shorter one, but mm-hmm. Anyway. Memory Lane.
Memory Lane, good times.
Hey, guess what, Dylan?
What's up?
The people want to know what your opinions are of WrestleMania 35.
Ah,
the people want it.
It happened.
It happened.
It was a thing that occurred at a place in time,
right?
that place and that time, neither of which I am familiar with. There's
in
people.
New Jersey last week on Sunday.
In New Jersey last week on Sunday, some people, they got all dressed up real good, make their daddies real proud of them.
They did.
And the mommies too, and they ran around and they hopped the ropes.
Sweaty boys and girls.
Oh,
just doing the things.
Big wet people.
The big wet people. Actually, it was this doesn't have to be that big of a segment.
Thank God.
I know how much you love wrestling. But the highlight of the night, so two highlights of the night. Becky Lynch won, which all the fans wanted Becky Lynch to win. She hadn't been women's wrestling champion before, and they wanted her to win.
Hell yeah.
She was against Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair. And yeah, so Becky Lynch won. I think Ronda Rousey broke her hand.
Damn.
It's bad. They kind of failed on the pin, and she like broke a finger or something like that.
Oof.
So not good. Wrestling ain't fake, damn it.
Not good. Very bad.
And then the other one was Kofi Kingston won his the WWE Championship.
Nice.
And yeah. Yeah, so that's a big deal, because there hasn't been a black WWE champion, so...
Hell yeah!
Hell yeah, my dude.
Banana bread at work? Hell yeah, my dude.
What?
Oh my god, that's one of my fucking private mind movements.
Banana bread at work.
There's a video... And I'm pretty sure that's exactly how it goes, where there's a guy who's just, like, in his car, and he's like, banana bread? At work? Hell yeah, dude!
I mean, in his defense, banana bread at work?
Hell yeah, dude. So that always comes up into my head whenever, like, I say hell yeah now, or I hear someone say hell yeah. It's, But yeah, that's a little like follow in from the second most recent Due by Friday episode. Mm-hmm. We have been on a 2 week hiatus because your boy got norovirus.
Yeah, it's your boy. You know what it is? Viral infections in the house.
I'm doing rap motions with my hands.
It's your boy. Politics or science? We should talk about science, because this is a really cool thing.
Oh, yeah. We took a picture of black hole.
We took a picture of we technically did take a picture of a black hole. We took a picture of a thing around a black hole. Because you can't take a picture of a black hole. Boom. Science.
Science got roasted. Steve, I took pictures, a lot of pictures actually, while I was at Dover Air Force Base in Delaware, and they all came out perfectly clear. That was a black hole if ever I saw it. Welcome to my TED Talk.
So, There is a whole video, maybe we might link that too, of so Veritasium is one of the educational channels on YouTube.
The Edutubers.
Yes, the Edutainers. And he talks about why they had to use the image techniques that they did in order to image the black hole. So people, a couple of questions people were asking is why didn't we image the black hole, which is the black hole at the center of our universe? And the reason we didn't image the black hole was because there's a lot of shit in the way.
Turns out
there's a bunch of shit in the way, and we can't do that.
It was all from the norovirus.
Until we have the image capability, which we probably won't have for another couple hundred years, we won't be able to do that. But we found a spectacular candidate like 50 light years away. Was it 50 light years? Maybe I'm pulling that number out of my ass. We found a spectacular candidate ways away that we can actually image from all sides.
Nailed it.
And so...
I need to point out, you really crushed that transition, Devin. I'm really proud of you for that.
And now we are destroying the momentum by acknowledging it. And so we can image that from all sides, but...
With Ann Fisher on NPR. I'm sorry. Do your thing.
Yeah. I actually have to figure out the name of the scientist. Her name is Katie Bowman?
I think so, yeah.
Katie Bowman.
Yeah.
She is an imaging scientist, Dr. Katie Bowman from MIT. So she was a PhD student when the meat of the project was being done.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I think, 3 years ago. She has a pretty good TED Talk where she talks about what the theory of the imaging technique is. In which she states that since we do not have a clear idea, because no one has ever done it before, we do not have a clear idea of what a black hole would look like. This is in 2016 or 17. Mm-hmm. We have to rely on... these kind of structural nodes, structural things that we see in nature in order to give us something that applies to what nature would actually do in the real world, quote unquote. It's very fascinating. So, they kind of put the image through a series of tests to figure out if they got the "quote unquote" right image, and they compare them the tests to things in nature on our own planet, and also astrological things that we found outside of our planet. It's really, really awesome. But the black hole imaging image that we got was from years of data worked from a bunch of labs around the world. I think it's 20 plus labs worked together to spit out this image that looks like a fuzzy disk.
Big fuzzy disk.
Big fuzzy disk.
And literally within less than 8 hours of this discovery being made public, we already had a improvised goddamn Pikachu going wow meme about it.
Of course. Of course. But the fantastic thing about this is like the physics application, like the actual science makes it so they can figure out exactly what the dimensions of that black hole are.
Oh, damn.
And like and basically, like, the whole reason we're doing this is to find out how accurate Einstein's theories are,
mm-hmm.
and maybe theorize something different if they're not as accurate as we thought. But, you know, Einstein's theories kind of report that a black hole would look like this. That's why the movie Interstellar,
mm-hmm.
if you've seen that, spoiler alert, at the end of the movie, there is a black hole. And
it doesn't do anything cool. It's just there. You just get, right. like, a star wipe transition. It's like, this is a black hole. And then right. the star goes across the street and is like, the more you know.
But they worked with scientists, actually, like people who worked with Stephen Hawking on black hole theory,
mm-hmm.
And figured out tried to approximate what the image would look like. Now we actually know, which is freaking awesome.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So, hey, a black hole looks like a hole. We did it!
We did it! Who'd have thought?
We did it! And then, like, the confetti and balloons come down. Yeah!
And then they all get sucked into the black hole.
They all get sucked into the black hole. No, but seriously, that's, like, probably one of the crowning achievements of science in the last 100 years.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. If not the crowning achievement of astronomy so far.
Hell yeah, we did it, guys.
Freaking awesome.
We did it, y'all.
Yeah, and the internet has some ways of being skeptics and ways of downplaying things, but
mm-hmm.
no, I think black hole imaging and the people behind it are badass, and that was awesome. It made me happy. Made me happy.
I'm happy you're happy.
Yeah, science, man. I love science. I love when science gets done.
Science is very cool, and
but that Veritasium video is mm-hmm. very interesting. If anybody wants to look at it, Veritasium. Awesome. I will get the name in here. It is How to Understand the Image of a Black Hole.
Awesome.
Yeah, and he does a little presentation on like a diorama to show why the disk occurred and why it's more like grainy on one side than the other. And that has to deal with the light bouncing back, because the light goes all around it. So you're basically seeing the other side of the black hole from one side.
Holy shit.
It's really weird.
Yeah. Holy shit. Yeah, I'm going to need to watch this video. Veritasium's great.
It's real cool. So, yeah, so, like, there's that old proverb where, like if you were in front of a black hole, obviously you'd be sucked in and killed instantly. But if you were in front of a black hole, you'd be able to see the back of your hand from, like, if you looked at the front of your hand, you could see the back of your hand.
Oh, that's fucking buck wild.
You could see everything because light just goes around you, and so, yeah.
I want to experience crazy. This.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure in the future there will be, like, a simulation in which you can.
That would be really cool.
I want to work on that project. That would be cool.
I just want to go into a black hole, which leads Boom. Me into my next transition. And also, we will have a link to that Veritasium video.
Segway, scoot, scoot.
Scoot, scoot, beep, beep, vroom, vroom.
Beep, beep, vroom, vroom. On the scoot, scoot.
On the scoot, scoot. Which is, regarding beep, black beep. Holes, I want to suggest a book for a Every Other Wednesday book club.
Whoa! Ding, 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 ding. Awesome.
It's called Stopping the Noise in Your Head, a book about anxiety. I've
this
heard...
is so not on brand for you, Dylan. What?
What? What? I don't come off as anxious.
I don't come off as sarcastic.
Oy vey.
Oy vey.
So, it's Stopping the Noise in Your Head, and I will find the person who actually wrote it here, because I just got the book on...
Nice.
My Kindle, digital orders, by Reed Wilson, Stopping the Noise in Your Head, The New Way to Overcome Anxiety and Worry, Someone I like a lot and look up to a great deal and mm-hmm. have a little bit of man crush on. Mm-hmm. Kind of wish he could be like my second dad, Merlin Mann.
I don't think you should, no. Okay. Reed Wilson. He's related to Wade Wilson, a.k.a. Deadpool.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They're actually fraternal twins. Not identical, but fraternal twins.
How is he related to Deathstroke?
To Deathstroke?
A.k.a. Slade Wilson.
Oh, I'm a little out of my depth here.
Did you know that Deadpool is a parody of Slade, who
no.
is Batman's one of Batman's villains? Anyway, what you were saying?
I was saying Merlin Mann's real cool, and he talks a lot about the mental health and that sort of thing. And mm-hmm. he was on the most recent episode of Roderick on the Line. He was discussing this book a little bit, and it made me interested in wanting to read it. Also, that the latest episode of Super Train, that Roderick on the Line, was really good, but was a total fucking bummer. But I still recommend you go listen to it, and I'm not going to spoil the bummer part, but John and Merlin, like, their conversations are always amazing, and sometimes they go to kind of dark and sad places, but it's always, like, a good listen, good hang. But yeah, I'll drop link to that in the show notes. But yeah, that's my suggestion, is read Stopping the Noise in Your Head for next episode.
Maybe next episode is a special one, so
next episode
not.
Is a special one. That's right. Future episode.
A future episode.
Future
maybe.
Episode to be determined. Then I can put off reading it and
I mean, you don't have I'm sure I know that it stays more fresh in your head if you're like just getting off reading it, so mm-hmm. maybe you'll want to do that, but you don't have to put it off if you don't want to. So how long is that book?
Oh, it's
will
not
I
long.
It's not long see. At all.
How many pb,
how many pg?
386 pages.
What? Okay, yeah. Sure. I'm actually getting done with the fifth Game of Thrones book right now.
Oh, shit.
Fourth Game of Thrones book right now. Once I'm done with that, instead of going straight to number 5, I will read that.
Listeners who do not know our recording schedule, because I don't think this is an OPSEC violation, we record on Sundays in advance of the Wednesdays every other. Uh-huh. And this Sunday is the long-awaited new Game of Thrones.
Oh yeah, dude! You want to hear about my game?
I want to hear about your Thrones. Game. Your game of Game of Thrones.
My game of Game of Thrones. I don't know. Shit, my show notes just popped out. So I actually. Fuck me. I am the hugest nerd, and I actually printed out for tonight for the people that I'm playing with. It's my Game of Thrones Deadpool. And I have 48 lists, 48 names on this list.
Mm-hmm.
And we had drafted one champion. Because that's a thing in Game of Thrones. This is very Game of Thrones themed. We drafted one champion.
Mm-hmm.
And then Game of Thrones is all about 7.
Mm-hmm.
So the main game of my main game is called Fates of the 7.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Ooh.
And so the 7 are named after the 7 gods in the main religion. Mm-hmm. And basically you choose from each seed. I mm-hmm. seeded the characters based on importance to the plot. And yeah, this is super nerdy.
It's very nerdy, but
I'm very nerdy.
I'm here for it.
And so you get points basically from importance of the plot, character to like the least important characters. Like, so the beginning, we have the champion I drafted was this bookie guy. You don't watch Game of Thrones, right?
I do watch Game of Thrones.
You do watch Game of Thrones. Okay. So you'll notice, you'll know all these guys. So I drafted Samwell Tarly.
Okay.
And so this is basically for who you think is going to survive.
Mm-hmm.
I drafted Samwell Tarly, and then OPSEC. The other people drafted Arya Stark, mm-hmm. Bran Stark, and Sansa Stark.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then compare that to our last picks, which were random. The mm-hmm. last six categories I just had randomly generated.
Mm-hmm.
And our last picks, my guy is Hot Pie.
Yeah, I was going to say Hot Pie.
And then the other three are Little Sam,
mm-hmm.
Ghost, and Lyanna Mormont.
Word.
So, like, it goes from very important to the plot to not important at all. And then there are questions that will win points, too. And this is just all for fun, but mm-hmm. Who wins the Clegane Bowl, which is, like, the Hound versus the Mountain?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to be the Valonqar, which is who kills Cersei Lannister?
Mm-hmm.
If she, you know, and I also pose that no one can be a viable answer to any of these.
Mm-hmm.
Who kills the Night King, and then who wins the Game of Thrones? So mm-hmm. yeah, I made a little game, and I'm gonna play in the next five weeks.
Hell. Yeah,
and it's over after a month and some change. It'll be over, and
it'll all be over. But the last book still crazy. Hasn't been released.
The last books, 6 and 7.
Oh yeah, you're right.
So Winds of Winter and Dreams of Spring.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he said that Winds of Winter's writing is going better than it has been. So I don't know what that means. But yeah, George is not in a hurry.
No, he's not. Neither is Pat Rothfuss.
Yeah. I keep on hearing about that book. What, Kingkiller?
Yeah, The Kingkiller Chronicle. It's one of my absolute favorites.
Yeah. My coworkers read that.
Hell yeah.
Say it's really, really good. I work with a lot of nerdy people because I work at a science job.
Hell yeah.
So, yeah, and we have a lot of time on our hands, so we all listen to audiobooks.
Very nice, very nice.
Yeah.
That Audible is a great thing, isn't it?
It is a great thing. I have a bunch of audiobooks now, and I am chugging through Game of Thrones right now, and I'm almost done with A Feast for Crows, and I listened to a lot of it last night. I have, like, 300 pages left
mm-hmm.
of this 1,100-page book.
Yeah. Dang.
It's freaking great. And then I'm getting Dance with Dragons this upcoming week.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, staying on that reading game, man.
We stand for reading.
We stand for reading. I would say that reading is a very important thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
very controversial statement right there.
Some could say it's vital.
So there's only two books.
Yeah.
Right now,
it's meant to be a trilogy. But yeah, there's only the first two. The first is The Name of the Wind. The second one is A Wise Man's Fear.
Okay.
And I believe the third one is, the working title is like The Doors of Stone or something like that. Let me see.
That's crazy. This is the one where it's supposed to be like a huge epic, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so essentially, yep, The Doors of Stone is book three. So it's told, this isn't a spoiler, but the main storytelling device is that K'voth, the main character of the story, is now going by Coat as his name. He went into seclusion, found this small town, opened up a tavern,
mm-hmm.
and basically is living under an assumed name to not be discovered by anyone. Mm-hmm. And there is a scribe from the university that comes out and stops at the inn and figures out that he's Kavoth, and convinces Kavoth to let him write down his story. And so the two so far books flicker between Coat telling the story of Kavoth in the tavern and Kavoth actually living the story. And it's a very, very good read.
It sounds very, very much like, I don't know, you describing it sounds like The Witcher to me.
Yeah, kind
of. Very kind of flashbacky, like, this is what happened, and all of these many moons ago.
Definitely. And there's actually...
that's another series that I want to read, too.
The Witcher?
That first book, yeah.
Hell yeah. There is actually a... Because I also... I stand the writers and producers and creators of content that I enjoy. Pat Rothfuss does this thing called the World Builders Market, where you can donate and be entered into win prizes from Wyrmwood, which is a gaming company that builds these beautiful gaming tables and gaming accessories and that sort of thing. But you can also buy things out of the world of the Kingkiller Chronicle, and that money goes to directly to countries that are developing for resources. Like, one of them is I bought a mug from one of the taverns that's very central to the story, that mug, a board game from the book, and a gift for one of my friends for their wedding, which I can't say on the podcast, all wound up buying two goats for a town. And the goat comes with the materials that will be needed to take care of the goat, and someone who can teach the people how to maintain the goat to maximize the usefulness of the goat, how to breed the goats. And then that person can teach other people how to take care of the goats. And I think that's a cool...
You know what they say, buy somebody two goats.
Buy somebody two goats.
it takes a lot of time and effort and work, but you know, they'll eat for
they'll eat a goat. You
know, they'll eat a goat. And maybe more goats in the future. And also that's the saying, buy somebody two goats and they will utilize it under its full potential.
Teach a man to fish, and he'll say, "What the fuck? Where are the goats?"
Teach a man to take care of a goat, and he will utilize it in the economy set forth in his own district.
This is socialism right here. Each according to his ability, to each according to his goat.
Each according to his goat. Title. Boom, boom, boom.
Oh my god.
Oh man. Oh,
I think that's a good one to wrap on.
Yeah, I don't want to remind myself of politics today.
Me
because
either.
Today is a good day. Today is a day for enjoying the Columbus Blue Jackets game.
Yeet.
They're in. Hopefully, I don't. Maybe I shouldn't even mention the game, but they are leading the series against the Lightning.
Yeah, the Stanley Cup Finals, right now.
Finals. What?
Semifinals?
Semifinals? I'm pretty sure. Maybe. I don't follow that super well. I'm sorry, guys. I'm gonna open up my tab and figure out Eastern Finals.
Eastern Finals. Got you.
Not even that far.
We ain't even at the cup.
But the Jackets weren't even supposed to make it this far. And the Lightning have a way better record than us. 62-16 for the Lightning, as opposed to 47-31 for the Jackets. So us getting this far is freaking phenomenal. I think the Jackets won by 3 or 4. They won by 4 last game. So tonight, I think it's in Tampa. So, no, it's in Columbus still.
Oh, darn.
And, yeah, so that's going to be on at 7, and then Game of Thrones is on at 9.
Hell yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be freaking awesome. I'm going to go to a watch party, and, yeah, it's going to be awesome. Yee. Oh, I didn't mention, I went to World Market the other day. And I went to World Market because I wanted to find Game of Thrones licensed alcohols. They sell those. And so I bought two, I don't know what you'd call the unit. It's a big bottle.
Two growler bottles.
Yeah. No, it's not really a growler. It looks like a wine bottle.
Okay.
But they're bottles of a sour ale. Called the Queen's Justice. And it's a ale that's dedicated to Cersei Lannister. And on the label it says, "To Cersei, who reminds us that all who are not friends are enemies."
Damn.
Which is freaking great. And that is a sour ale. It's great.
That's a sour ale with a sour take right there.
Boom. And so I'm going to take those, and we're going to have a drink to the start of Game of Thrones season, and it's going to be awesome.
Hell yeah. Just don't drink too much, because then you won't remember who fucked the dragon.
Who died? Who fucked the dragon? Long Dick Pod fucked the dragon.
Long Dick Pod!
That is a inside joke that I have with my friends. We watched that episode together. So, okay. One more story before we wrap up. One of the episodes, Tyrion and his sellsword Bronn are sitting around, and his squire at the time, Podrick Payne, is also around. Tyrion wants to reward Podrick for doing something really great for him. So he says, "Hey, Pod, go down to the brothel." Or no, they go down to the brothel, and all of these girls start fawning over Pod, and he says, "You can have all of them." And then he walks away. And then the next scene that you see Pod in, he's very, very happy. And Tyrion and Bronn go, so how'd it go? Pod hands him back the money that he gave the brothel. And they go, why are you handing me this money? You know, it was free of charge. You don't have to do that. And he goes, "No, sir, they didn't want the money." Like, are you telling me you were so good that they didn't want our money? And he said, apparently. So after that scene, we've all started calling him Long Dick Pod.
Long Dick Pod. Long may he reign.
Oh my god. Long Dick Pod for the Iron Throne. Title. Alright. Let's wrap up here.
Oh, man.
Dylan Vickers.
So where can we find you on the internet, Devin?
You can find me at devinnava.com. I've been slacking a bit. I haven't written the review of Us that I thought I would – Us, the movie by Jordan Peele, that I thought I would be writing. So maybe I just won't write. It's not fresh in my head anymore.
Do you want to do a quick review of Us, like the podcasting voice, real quick? What do you think
Of our podcast now?
Yeah, quick review. Just stars. Just give us stars.
Just stars.
Yeah, just stars.
I'll give us 3.5 stars.
What the fuck? Out of 3.5. Plot twist. Turns out.
I'm gonna say that our podcast doesn't come out regularly. has little to no direction at points, and takes some time to get going. despite of this, the boys are very, very thoughtful and also have very, very good jokes.
Yeah, we do. Read the part about how we're both really handsome.
Oh, yeah. Also, podcasts are an audio medium, but you can tell that both of these boys are very handsome.
Yeah, we are, man. Just
from their voices.
That was from listener Bert.
Yeah.
Thanks, listener.
Both these boys, handsome boys on the mic. So yeah, devineva.com and at devineva is my handle on twitter.com. Where can we find you, Dylan?
I can be found at dylanbickers.com. I have been slacking on writing anything at all lately. But yeah, that's my website. You can find me on Twitter at Dylan Bickers, and you can find this show and show notes for this episode at eow.fireside.fm.
And oh yeah, this is the first episode that we're going to use our new themes.
Oh yeah,
so we got
new beats. Who'd we get them from?
Shout out to Villainous Beats, man. We commissioned these beats about a month ago, and he came through. So shout out Villainous Beats for that. Hopefully he can be on the podcast soon. We can go through how he started making beats and all that crap. What else? He is on SoundCloud.
And there will be a link to the Villainous Beats SoundCloud in the show notes, as always.
Oh, yeah. What else? I was trying to look for a closer for the show, and I...
I made a bot.
Dylan has a brain blast.
I made a bot.
Oh, yeah. Tell that story.
I made a bot. So I have a second Twitter account. It's at Howard Venti Venti.
Amazing.
And all he does...
That's really good, actually. That's a fucking, like, deep pull. Okay. I like it.
All he does is quote tweet Ben Shapiro automatically, and then appends at the end if the tweet isn't too long. What if Stuart Little and Ratatouille fucked? Send tweet.
I cried laughing. So fucking good. I saw somebody important favorited one of those.
Yes! Things. Some lawyer or something for, like, Arizona's, like, special counsel or whatever the fuck, like, liked one of the tweets that explicitly at the end says, what if Stuart Little and Ratatouille fuck, send tweet.
And memeing, so, memeing out our oppressive overlords.
Oh, it's so good. Okay. I'll talk to you soon, Devin.
See you, Dylan.
VLNS.
Every other Wednesday.